بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of July in the year 2020 الحمد لله we moved on to the second night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha. So the next section is entitled Her Previous Husbands. Hafiz Zurqani rahmatullah alayh in his Sharh al-Mawahib volume 3 page 288 he relates Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha's first wedlock was with Mas'ud ibn Amr ibn Umair Thaqafi, but the marriage was dissolved for one reason or another. So here this was her first husband. He was from the Thaqif, i.e. the area of Taif, and his name was Mas'ud ibn Amr ibn Umair, but the marriage was dissolved. Maybe there was a divorce, something happened. She was then subsequently married to Abu Ruhum ibn Abdul Uzza, who passed away in the year 7 AH. So her second husband, he passed away, and the year was 7 AH, meaning she wasn't married for long with the second husband. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he said in Fath al-Bari 16-97, some scholars have mentioned she was previously married to Abu Ruham's brother Huwaytib. A third opinion names Sakhbura ibn Ruham. So there's a few other views amongst the scholars. So what can we say with certainty? One can say with certainty that our beloved mother Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha had been married twice prior. So that's definite. So she had two previous husbands. The first one probably a divorce. And the second one, her husband passed away. Whether she had a third husband, there's ikhtilaf. So why is that important to highlight? Because to marry a woman who's been married prior does not take away her piety. Some people have this stigma when they want to get married, and if you tell them, oh, she's been married before, they're horrified. They go, oh, because I don't want to get married to a woman who's already married. And the response to that is, why? So here, note, Allah the Almighty and Glorious was giving the best to His beloved Messenger. And sometimes the women who were the best, they had previous husbands, two, three. Think about that. Doesn't take away the piety of that woman. So moving on to her marriage to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how did this come about? It was Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet's uncle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was covetous that his exalted nephew should marry Maymuna. So Abbas wanted this. Why? Because his wife was the sister of Maymuna. So he wanted to look how much love the uncle had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's his uncle. You know, you can't get much closer. Only the father's closer than the uncle. But he wanted even a family tie, a marriage tie. Because I want my nephew to marry my wife's sister. So he also becomes my brother-in-law through marriage. Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Istiyab 4-407, his Mursal, it mentions Sayyidina Abbas suggested radiyallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maymuna, Harith's daughter radiyallahu anhu, has become a widow. Do you think you can now marry her? Now think about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already married. His blessed wives at the time was Aisha, Hafsa. In fact, all the mothers of the believers. It's not as if, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was single, right? He had so many. So this is another thing. People think, you know, to have a share a husband is a bad thing. And like they say, the pretend, you know, monogamy in the West, right? Where they married, but they have many, many different partners under the radar. It's called pretend monogamy. Why? Because a need needs to be fulfilled, but they're not going to the halal. So he asked very humbly, he goes, why don't you marry Maymuna? She's become a widow. Obviously, Abbas knew Sayyidah Maymuna very well because his wife was the sister of Maymun. In Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 11,667, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 6,796, or volume 4, page 30, Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubu'ah, number 1,673, Musa ibn Uqba, ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 310 of the English translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 290 of the New English translation, Imam Abu Bakr ibn Shahab al-Zukhri, who is more affectionately called Imam Zuhri, from the Tabi'in, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates. It was the year after signing the Treaty of Hudaybiyah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left to perform the Umrah. This occurred 7 years after the Hijrah during the month of Zulqa'dah, which was the same month in which the polytheist had prevented Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from entering Masjid al-Haram during the previous year. So let's break this down. So he's giving you a date. So the Treaty of Hudaybiyah has been signed. That was in the 6th year after the Hijrah, when the Prophet had migrated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Madinah. One of the conditions was that they were not allowed to do Umrah. Imagine, though they were in Ihram. They were only a few miles from Makkah, from the Holy House itself. They goes, no, you can't do Umrah. You can come by next year. That was one of the clauses to the treaty. So Rasulullah was prevented in the month of Zulqa'dah. What's interesting, we're in Zulqa'dah now. This is the month of Zulqa'dah. All the Holy Prophet's Umrah was done in this month. Think about that. If you want to follow the Sunnah, do Umrah in this month. He never did any other Umrah except in this month, because it's one of the four holy months. So what did he do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Next year, same month, he sets off to do the makeup Umrah. Imam Zuhri continued, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reached a place called Ya'jij, he sent Ja'far ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu, to propose on his behalf for the hand of Maymuna bint Harith ibn Hazan Amriya, radiyallahu, in marriage. Let's stop in the report. So Ja'far is mentioned in this report. So now, if you look at the seerah, didn't he come back when Khaybar had fallen? And the response is, Khaybar has fallen. This is the 7th year. So Ja'far has recently come back from Abyssinia. And he's told Ja'far to ask for Maymuna's hand in marriage. Now why is that interesting? Because Ja'far's wife was also the sister of Maymuna. This is why I mentioned yesterday, you understand why the Prophet is choosing certain people. So he's basically telling Ja'far, you know, ask for Maymuna's hand in marriage, radiyallahu. Sayyidah Maymuna, radiyallahu, in turn handed her affairs to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiyallahu, who was married to her sister, Sayyidah Al-Fadr. So Maymuna, radiyallahu, to please Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she goes, of course, I'm very happy. But Abbas, he will do all the necessities. In another report, so I'll mention the separate report now. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat 8-132, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sirah, page 523 of the New English Translation, Tabari in his Tariq 2-143, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 315 of the English Translation, she appointed her sister Al-Fadl to represent, and she in turn entrusted the task to her husband Abbas, radiyallahu. It was he who married her to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave her from him a dowry of 400 dirhams. So this adds a detail. The detail added here is that she appointed Abbas's wife, her own sister, Al-Fadl, to represent. And she said to her husband Abbas, you deal with the marriage. And he was the one who arranged the marriage. Going back to the report in Tabarani, Abbas radiallahu anhu then handed her over in marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon stayed over in Sarif for a while until Maymuna radiyallahu anha arrived there and the marriage was consummated. So let's look at this. So simply put, the marriage is done through the honorable brother-in-laws. Abbas is the key one who really arranged the marriage, for want of a better word, radiyallahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he waits in Sarif, and Sarif is with the sea. Sarif. And he waited there for Maymuna to arrive. And at Sarif, Rasulullah consummated the marriage, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is Sarif? In Nasa'i, in his Sunan, it mentions that Sarif is 10 miles from Makkah on the road to Al-Madinah. So even if you're heading towards Al-Madinah, you don't even realize you've gone past Sarif. It's 10 miles from the mother city on the road to Al-Madinah. That's where the marriage was consummated. Confirming all this, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed to Maymuna bint al-Harith radiyallahu anha. She appointed my father Abbas as her guardian and he gave her in marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2441, Hasan li ghayr. So note the authentic reports confirm. So all of what's mentioned here in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, authentic chain, confirms the previous report. Abbas was the one who arranged the marriage radiyallahu anha. How happy was Maymuna over the marriage, radiyallahu anha. In Ibn Kathir's Seerah, volume 3, page 315 of the English translation, Hafiz Suhaili rahmatullah alayh, in his Rawd al-Unuf, he said, when the proposal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Maymuna radiyallahu anha, she was on a camel. She thereupon said, both the camel and what is on it now belong to Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Both the camel and what is on it now belong to Rasulullah. So basically she gave a gift. Now what's strange about this is normally the other way. The bridegroom gives the gift to the bride. But Maymuna radiyallahu anha said, this camel and everything that's on it, I've given it to Rasulullah. Meaning, Alhamdulillah, Allah has arranged this marriage. But now there's something unique here, which is also worth mentioning. Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer 2-242, he relates, Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha herself approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and offered her hand in marriage, upon which the following holy verse was revealed. Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 50, the translation of the Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. And any believing woman who dedicated herself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wishes to wed her, she will then be reserved exclusively for you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and none of the other believers. So let's look at this. So Hafiz Zahabi, like you say, he's put a spanner in the works. He's saying that Maymuna approached the Prophet herself. She offered herself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a verse was revealed. And what does it say in the holy verse? Any believing woman who offers herself to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he desires to marry her, this is permissible, but not for any other believer. So Qatada, he commented here, rahmatullah alayhi, in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said, no woman has the right to offer herself to any man without a wali and a dowry, except to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Qatada explained, no woman has the right to offer herself to any man without a wali, a guardian, and without a dowry, except to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is very important. A woman cannot marry herself. These conditions. The wali is needed, according to a majority view. The wali is needed, i.e. the father, the male relative who represents her. And a dowry is needed. Who is the only exception to that rule? The Prophet said, a woman could approach him. Because, Ya Rasulullah, offer myself to you in marriage. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious held that verse back until Maymuna offered herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at her status. How did she know? Right? Because at that point, you can't do that. So Maymuna offered herself, and Allah Ta'ala was pleased. Any believing woman who dedicates herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wishes to wed her, she will be reserved exclusively for you and none of the other believers. Surah 33 verse 50, unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now that shows her status. Allah the Almighty inspired her to do that, radiyallahu anhu. So now, did the Holy Prophet just marry women nilly-willy, like the Orientalists make you believe? And the response is, why are you listening to Orientalists? You fruitcake, right? Right? But anyway, can't study your own books, but like hearing Orientalists. What makes it worse? From YouTube. MashaAllah, that's another reference, right? YouTube generation 9, MashaAllah. So, yes, Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrated, it's in Sahih Bukhari, that a woman approached from the Ansar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she goes, Ya Rasulullah, I offer myself to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't looking. He raised his blessed head to look, and then he lowered his head. He didn't say a single word. Why did he not say anything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he didn't want to hurt the female. Meaning, I don't want to marry. But because this is his sublime character, he just remained silent. So another sahaba, seeing the awkward situation, Ilal Mariya Ya Rasulullah. And the scholars point out, look at the love the sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to get him out of a predicament. And then the Prophet turns to him, he goes, have you got anything to give us dowry? He goes, nothing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, anything, even a ring, nothing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, do you know anything of the Quran? This is from another report, not in Bukhari, in Tirmidhi. And he goes, yes, I know, Iza Zulzilatil Ardh. And then he says to the woman, do you know this surah? He goes, no. He goes, teach her that surah, that's the dowry. The Hanafis point out here, this was the Holy Prophet using his divine right. That was an exception to the rule. You can't do that as a dowry. The Shafis state, no. You can't do that if you're in the same scenario. So anyway, there's a bit of fig there. So now when Anas narrated this hadith, look how interesting. You get women like this. One of his daughters, she went, hasn't that woman got any shame? And she just went to the Prophet and offered herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is Anas' daughter speaking to her father. Anas radiallahu anhu said, she had more shame than you and she was far more intelligent than you. Because she offered herself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now was Anas demonstrating. He loved the Prophet more than his family. In other words, you're the foolish one, right? He was very intelligent. So now notice, this was exclusive to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, when Maymuna approached him, radiyallahu anha, he accepted sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, there's a further clarification. In Hakim, it is Mustadrak, volume 4, page 30, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, in his Seerah, page 523 of the New English Translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 290-1 of the New English Translation. After marrying Sayyida Maymuna bint Harith, radiyallahu anh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Makkah for 3 days. On the third day, Huwaitib ibn Abdul Uzza came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, your stay has expired, leave us. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what harm will it do to you if you leave me now to consummate my marriage in your midst, after which I shall host a walima which you can all attend. They snapped, we have no need for your food, leave us. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon left for Al-Madina with Sayyida Maymuna radiyallahu anha and consummated his marriage at Sarif. So let's look at this. This needs to be broken down. The marriage has took place in Makkah, Umm al-Qura. Was the Prophet in Ihram? We're going to come to that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the treaty of Hudaybiyah, the clause was only for 3 days you can stay in Makkah. After 3 days, you're out. So it's the third day. Now look how interesting. This is why you need to know who these people are. Who did the Quraysh send? They sent Huwaytib ibn Abdul Uzza. Who is this man? He was the previous husband of Maymuna. The first one. The brother-in-law, you know, for want of a better word, if you're going to use things. Look at the Quraysh provoking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the first husband. They sent him. So think about that. Isn't that like kind of, you know, devilish on their part? Just to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, get out. We don't need your food. Rasulullah, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he's trying to do sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, what harm? He goes, look, you know, I'm going to have a walima. He goes, you're all welcome, whether you're Muslims or not Muslims. We're all family. You're all welcome. He goes, I will host, I will attend to them, you know. He goes, we no need for your food. Leave us. The Prophet ﷺ thereupon left for Al-Madinah with Maymuna radiallahu anha, and he consummated his marriage at Saif. Think about that. Look at these very interesting details mentioned in the reports. Adding another detail, Musa ibn Uqba ibn Kathir Sira, volume 3, page 310 to 11 of the English translation, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkah for 3 nights, at which point the period of safe access agreed upon at Hudaybiyah ended. When the morning of the 4th day came, Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu and Huwaytib ibn Abdul Uzza arrived. Whilst Rasulullah was seated with his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, conferring with Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu. So picture the scene. So note another detail added here. It wasn't just Huwaytib, it was Suhail ibn Amr. Now who's Suhail ibn Amr? He was that one who was blessed with eloquence, the auditor of the Quraysh. So look what they've done. They sent the auditor of the Quraysh, and he also signed the treaty. Remember, because I'm not signing it unless you hand my son to me. Because Abu Jandal had escaped. He goes, no treaty. So the Quraysh are deliberately provoking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They sent Suhail again and the previous husband of Maymuna. Now look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is he sitting with? It's in Makkah. So you'd expect he'd be sitting with the Muhajirun. He's sitting with the companions. He's talking to Sa'd ibn Ubadah, the chief of the Ansar. Meaning, yes, we're in Makkah, but he's honoring the Ansar. Huwaytib spoke, we now invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pact to you. You have not left our land and the 3 nights are over. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, you lie. May your mother miss you. It is not your land. It is not the land of your fathers. By Allah, he will not leave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah is keeping very quiet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he very calmly said to Suhail and Huwaytib, I have arranged marriage with one of your women. It will thus now not harm you for me to stay until I consummate the marriage with her. We can prepare food, you can eat with us. They replied, we will insist upon invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under pact unless you leave us. Let's stop in the report. Sa'd ibn Ubadah had a short fuse. Radiallahu. So think about this. He's in the lion's mouth, Makkah. You don't start, you know, treading on toes. When you're in the lion's mouth, he didn't give a monkeys because of his love for Rasulullah. Imagine, he knew what the games they were playing. So he responded. And the response he gave was, you're lying. May you have no mother. It's not your land. It's Allah Ta'ala's land, not your father's. He will not leave. And look how beautiful, you get this impression, the Prophet cool as a cucumber. They provoked Sa'd, he knows. And he just calmly says, look, let me, you know, I've married a woman from amongst yourselves. I will stay. I'll invite you. He goes, no, get out. The report continues. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave orders to Abu Rafi, his servant, radiyallahu, and he announced the departure. He then rode off and halted in the valley of Sarif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had entrusted Abu Rafi with bringing Maymuna. So look how interesting. The marriage has taken place, but Rasulullah has to leave. Why? Because of the time. He had to leave his wife because she is not bound by the time. He had to leave because the sun was setting. Because obviously a prophet doesn't ever go against what he's agreed upon. So look how amazing that is. He didn't say, well, my wife, I've got married now. That was in between the lines that you could say. He went, I have to leave. So he told his servant, I'm waiting at Sarif. Bring my wife. He thus stayed at Sarif until Maymuna arrived there, radiyallahu. She had been caused great distress and been harmed by the foolish polytheists and their children. When she arrived at Sarif, he consummated his marriage with her. Thereafter at night, he travelled on and reached Al-Madinah. So look what it mentions. They didn't even spare Maymuna. Just because she's married the Prophet, we don't have much details, but you imagine they were taunting her. You traitor, you know, words like this, you traitor, you this and that, you've left your father, you've done this. And even the children, they instigated the children against Maymuna radiyallahu. And then obviously, when she arrived at Sarif, the Prophet consummated his marriage. And then at night, he traveled. Look how interesting. He traveled at night. Why? Because the Prophet said, at night, the journey is shortened. In Imam Malik's Muwatta. And it's true. If you travel at night, you can cover big distances. Daytime, you know, people use logic, oh, there's traffic in day and there. Well, I don't know, 1,400 years ago, I don't think what traffic then was there, right? But even today, look, it's true, you can travel more at night. You know, alhamdulillah. But don't break the speed limit. So, again, Maymuna radiyallahu anha was honored to be married in Makkah. Another very interesting thing, and we'll finish with this. Another unique honor for our beloved mother radiyallahu anha was she was the last of the mothers of the believers whom the Prophet married, his last wife. He didn't marry any other wife after this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat 8-140, Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 13, page 2454, it mentions, this was the last marriage contracted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Sayyidah Maymuna radiyallahu anha was the last of the mothers of the believers. Radiyallahu. Think about that. This was the last marriage. Now, why is that interesting? What about Maria? And that's why the scholars have differed. Maria came after. Both, some say she was what his right hand possesses. Others say no, she was married. But if she was married, then Maymuna is not the last of the mothers of the believers. Therefore, ikhtilaf. Our beloved mother Maymuna radiyallahu anha was 51 years of age at the time of her marriage to the Messenger of Allah. He was 59 years of age. Again, you ask Bole Bale, how old was Maymuna? 28? No. 30? No. 32? No. 40? No. 50? No. And then you start thinking, well, why is Rasulullah married? Well, there you go, Orientalist again, aren't they? Orientalist, he's fond of women. You know, astaghfirullah, right? He was 51 years of age and he was 59. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is certainly worth mentioning, this is very interesting, that Khalid ibn al-Walid embraced Islam shortly after this. He was Maymuna's maternal nephew. Now look how interesting. He was present at Sarif when his aunt married. Now what was he doing at Sarif? Khalid's not embraced Islam. He's seeing Rasulullah because he's married my aunt. And then you get this impression that he's thinking, what's happened? And he probably overheard all this conversation. He went to Sarif, kept his distance. And then look what he said at Sarif, subhanAllah. After our beloved messenger departed, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his friends and he said, listen very carefully. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is certainly not a magician, as alleged by the Quraysh. Indeed, he only says what is revealed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He declared his shahada. Thus saying, he entered the glorious deen. Hence, subhanallah, it would be safe to say that this marriage was most instrumental in the conversion of this most glorious man to the glorious faith. Bali Bali Musulman, Khalid bin Walid, you embrace Islam, yeah. What happened? Right? How did he embrace Islam? His magic wand. Right? And he goes, there you go. And he goes, Maymuna was instrumental. He goes, brother, you got me there, who's that? It's your mother. Do you know your mother? Every time he's asking, you know, he just shows he's completely jail. Why did he embrace Islam then? Because it's his aunt. He's thinking, look how he's honoring my aunt. He must have loved her, you know, extremely. So maybe she's Khalid bin Walid, maybe one good deed of Maymuna, our mother. So all I mentioned today was basically two things. Who were her previous husbands? And I went into this. And then I mentioned her marriage to our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about that. When you actually think that Rasulullah is doing the umrah, the maid of umrah, you think of marriage. Imagine somebody goes, Masha, it was 3 days, tawaf, you're doing tawaf, safa, marwa, what, you got married? Somebody goes to you, brother, I was in umrah mode, right? You know, where did marriage come from? You got married to Maymuna, that's sunnah as well. Right? And we're going to discuss the fiqh for the dry guys, inshallah, in the next few days. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصوا بالحق وواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم